This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
That dude right there, that'd be Wes Durham. The dogs are here, Chester and Fuller. Captain Ron, let's see, Robert's here. Didn't see Otto yet. He's running a little late, but the Christmas decoration room, he's got his door there. He knows where he needs to go and stay out of Mrs.
Stop
P's.
At the store to pick up some munitions.
He doesn't need to stop by the store with that refrigerator back there. He's good to go. What's happening? Doing all right?
I'm good. You doing all right today?
I'm doing great. Today is a very large day in our family.
That's right.
Because old Barbara Packer. Dear old mom, big birthday today. So Billy had one Friday. Barb, there's the family right there.
My gosh, look at all the people.
There's Barb running the show. There's the whole crew there at the house for Thanksgiving last year. Piper Girl's there. Chester did not get his fee, so he turned his back on us. Fuller's got a good look. He's chasing for squirrels and birds and chipmunks on the other side. But there's Barb and Billy and the whole crew.
Look at Brant, looks good.
Aaron and... Jack and everybody's rolling there. Happy birthday, Barbara Packer, today. So hopefully she has a wonderful day. She'll have to put up with Billy. That's the downside. But the good side is every day above ground is a good one. So happy birthday, Barbara Packer.
Happy birthday, Barb.
Mom.
Good to see you. Hope all's well. Kind of an interesting 3 minutes for Carolina last night.
I texted you guys in the group chat. This will be the three most important minutes of Hubert Davis's young coaching career last night.
Wow.
3 minutes to go, and you just got a sense, hey, North Carolina, you want to go in the NCAA tournament?
You kind of got to.
It's time.
Yeah.
And Syracuse, to their credit, they came to play. That was not Saturday's blowout to Duke thing. They came ready to play, and Swider was crazy good last night.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, that was a thoroughly entertaining game last night.
Yeah, no question. Then you get this, put them up two, hit a three, and then that's a tough shot.
Really?
That's
tough.
A tough shot. I said last night to a friend of mine, I was watching it as it happened. He was driving, and I was telling him what was going on, and I said, Joe Girard just hit a shot, and I think they let him get to the baseline. That was a lot tougher looking shot from that angle than it was, at least on the original.
And here's the other thing, too. The shot prior to that we showed with Love making it, he was 0 for life making
25 feet, just straight cold-blooded.
And, I mean, that had to go in, quite frankly. So North Carolina survives, and because of the win, Wes, we lock in another double bye team for next week's ACC men's tournament in Brooklyn. We got three locked and loaded with one spot open for the double bye.
And am I right now? Miami can lock that down with the win at BC?
Miami wins, they're in. Simple as that.
Yeah, because they would then be 13-6 with Syracuse to play, and they won both regular. And here we go again. This is why we keep talking about the difference between 2-1 in terms of how many times you play a team in the regular season. Miami swept Wake Forest. Remember, they won both meetings, the one in Winston a couple of weeks ago and the first one at Coral Gables. You're getting some single games here down the stretch. They don't really impact the top of the standings, but sometimes the single game is the difference in whether or not you advance or not to the double bye, and we're seeing the Wake Forest situation come to fruition here.
Yep, Duke, Notre Dame, North Carolina definitely won't play the first two games in that last spot, as you mentioned. If Miami wins, they're in. Simple as that. And I'll go back to Wake. I remember when Miami won in Winston.
Right.
And remember Steve Forbes in the press conference afterwards? I am so disappointed. He knew even then how important that game was.
Right.
Because that was more than just a game. That was, hey, we got to even this thing with Miami. Because you got to figure, hey, we got a chance to be in this double bye situation. And Miami's going to be one of the contestants. And when you lose two to somebody and you're coming down the stretch, that's a problem.
Yeah. Wake's made so many strides this year in terms of where they are from a basketball perspective that now down to the details, the woulda, shoulda, couldas, and what difference that would have made. However, don't let it diminish the fact the Deacons have had one of the more remarkable campaigns of recent ACC eras. And now you're talking about a team that whether they started on Thursday or they started on Wednesday, in this case, they're probably going to start on Wednesday if Miami wins tomorrow night. In that case, Wake Forest is – the way Wake Forest plays, it's just about starting. It's not about when you start. Now, conditioning things like that for playing three games, I still think it's interesting. But the Deacons score it in such a way. And here's the other thing, too. We've learned to live with this a little bit if you follow the league. Wake Forest will throw a 18-21 turnover game at you and still find a way to win. they may have to survive one of those too. But nonetheless, and here's the good news, even better. Joe Lunardi's got him in the field this morning.
Well, if you assume that that's the gospel, yeah, that's great.
Well, Joe doesn't miss much. I'm tuning in every year.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying. I mean, and until I see Joe Lunardi behind the microphone on Selection Sunday, God bless him. I mean, I love what he's done in terms of finding a niche, but it really doesn't matter, quite frankly, until the NCAA
says 12 days to
yay or nay.
12 days.
I get it, but okay. You're not listening to what I'm saying. I Joe Lunardi, he can have me in the tournament. It really doesn't matter unless the NCAA committee says thumbs up or thumbs down. Wake's got to win out. Miami needs to win out. Mm. Everybody still needs to win. The league, when you start looking at, I don't care, find your favorite bracketologist.
Right.
There's a lot of double digits as far as the seeds are concerned with ACC basketball teams. I mean, Duke's two, and they certainly had a good weekend, given what happened to the top six in the AP poll. But everybody else... 9s, 10s, and 11 seeds. So you got to keep winning games.
All right.
North Carolina winning last night was so important for the Eagles.
No question. And there were a lot of people in the last couple of minutes that were thinking the same thing you were.
No, without a doubt. You had to.
Flashbacks and everything.
Had to.
Caleb Love, 21 points, 14 of them in the last couple minutes of the regulation and overtime.
Well, he was great, though. Once he made the 25-footer,
right.
He was spectacular.
Yeah, here you go. 14 in the final 2:30 in overtime. 2 of 14, 1 of 8 from 3 in the first 37 minutes of the game. Brady Mannix, 22, led Carolina last night. And Armando Bacot tied the mark for Bryce Johnson with double-doubles. He had his 23rd of the year last night, 17 points and 18 rebounds. Boy, Mannix, and look, he's just been a developing presence for Carolina. And feel like, I mean, despite the way Swider shot it last night and Syracuse competed, do you feel like Carolina's kind of ascending a little bit here? Are they playing better in your mind? Or are they
at
just
times?
Yeah.
They kind of give you doses, right? They give you spurts of like 10 minutes where you go, well, that's a good looking club. Mm-hmm. Then they give you a couple minutes where you're like, what are we doing here? What happened? So, you know, their consistency is kind of all over the map. But when they're good, they're really good.
Right.
I mean, really good.
Yeah.
And that gives you, I think, the anticipation of what's going to be like Saturday night. It's probably a good thing that game was played on a Monday night as opposed to a Wednesday or Thursday. The double time and the push, and now all of a sudden you have the quick turnaround having to go to Duke. You got all week to get your legs back, which is a good thing for Carolina. But how good was Swider last night? He was making such ridiculous shots. And you know the other thing, too, we give you all the offensive numbers. How about Leaky Black last night defensively? Was he good? Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Like a glove. Good. It was a fun game.
So I think he's a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year.
Should be.
Yeah.
I mean, make whatever list you want. He should be on it. No question.
I mean, there are lists that get thrown out there this time of year, all ACC. Corey Alexander had a Defensive Player of the Year list the other night on a game, I think Syracuse and Duke, and didn't have Leaky Black on it. I mean, Mark Williams and Leaky Black, to me, are the two best defensive players in the league.
Really good.
Different type players. And here's the news. I mean, Adam Lucas wrote this morning on Carolina's website that after the game, Leaky Black did not rule out coming back next year to play his COVID year.
Well, he should.
I mean
just where is he going?
Pack, you know how this is.
Yeah, I know, but where is he going?
I just say you know how this is.
No, I think he's a great defensive
player. I do too. I think you can. I think he can come back and he's got a little bit of an emerging offensive game right now. Things like that. You know, there were Carolina fans that would run and hide a couple of years ago when he'd start to shoot the basketball, and now all of a sudden, guys got some confidence from the perimeter. Let's see where the rest of the year takes him. But certainly, that's an option out there, and Carolina might be. I know you can use a veteran defensive stopper.
Well, I think I want him on the floor if I need somebody to shut somebody down.
Oh, man.
Because he can do that.
I mean, he switched from Boeheim to Swider last night and everything changed.
Made sense to me given the fact that Swider scored 36. Yeah. Might be a good idea.
Swider,
we had a little index card game last night.
I was getting ready to say, we were right in your wheelhouse last night, weren't we?
Again, I don't come up with conspiracy theory. That's a tight game. That's an overtime game. We had 20-8 from the line last night.
Plus 12 in attempts, plus 9 in makes.
Just saying.
And?
That's the numbers. Don't yell at me. Just telling you what the numbers are.
Oh, man. Joe Lunardi, who we told you already is kind of projected Wake into the field. Carolina no longer a bubble team. We will cover some of that in a moment.
Well, we'll see. There's still, even though we're late, this is the last week of the regular season.
Yes, sir.
There's still so many games. This thing is so fluid. Who wins, who loses? I mean, you just got to keep winning. And everybody always trying to crystal ball this stuff. Man, you know what? We're 12 days away from finding out the gospel, right? Yeah. 12 days, you'll know the answer to the question.
Carolina 11-0 when Caleb Love scores 20, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that in there. So 88-79 in overtime in the final last
night. Good game. Fun game.
Only game we got two tonight, including Duke at Pittsburgh. Coach K's last regular season road game right here on ACC Network.
It's not been an easy place for old Coach K, though. Just saying. He's 3-2 at Pitt.
This is their only meeting of the regular season. So they see John Hughley and Mohamedou Gee and Femi Odokali and Ithiel Horton. This is the first time they've seen them.
And then we have another game with one of the craziest streaks, which I was not even aware of
until this week. That Louisville has buried Virginia Tech since the Metro days?
17. Virginia Tech has not beaten Louisville since February of 91. That's a bar bet. I would have lost that. You would just say, oh, come on, Virginia Tech would have beaten them somewhere.
It's like
17 in a row they've lost to Louisville.
It's like Quentin Nottingham and Wally Lancaster. That's where that is.
Something tells me they snap that tonight, though. I think the Hokies are playing good ball.
Yeah.
We'll see. What's BPI say?
We'll figure that
all
out.
Right.
Coming up at 9 o'clock, once again, we've been entrusted.
We said nothing. We know all and say nothing.
The official Atlantic Coast Conference Women's Basketball Awards.
We know the answer, but we can't tell you till 9.
Till 9 o'clock. So at 9 o'clock, we will make those announcements. The Player of the Year and the Coach of the Year will join us on the women's side.
I know the answer.
Well, that's great.
I'm not saying a word.
At 8:15, one of the great pass-catch combinations in ACC basketball history will be here.
Wow. Now, that's a strong statement.
Harrison Prieto and Matthew Cleveland will join us.
In history?
Well, I mean, you think about it.
I am.
How many length of the floor pass and catch combinations for game winners have there been?
Well, it was an incredible play.
It's not Grant Hill to Leitner. I said one of the best.
I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't put it in that category given the circumstances.
I just said one of the best. I didn't say the best. I'm still here to tell you that's an unbelievable play.
I just said that.
But one of the best. I'll sell it up. Upsell.
All right.
Get people to hang around. 8:15, Harrison Prieto, Matthew Cleveland will be here. 8:30 this morning, if you watched the tournament documentary last night after the overtime drama in Chapel Hill.
I got a beef.
8:30, Randolph Childress will be here. 9:30, J.R. Reed joins this program.
I got a beef. This is the first time I've got a beef with a documentary.
All right.
You want to wait?
Are you filing a complaint? Or
I am.
Okay.
I'd like to file a complaint.
All right.
Because the documentary, do we have time to do it now or do you want to wait?
Go ahead. You're already there.
All right, here it is.
All right.
Now, let me just preface this by saying,
I'm going to make a note on this.
Please, okay. In ink.
Yeah.
In all caps so even all of us can read it.
Right.
I think the documentary has been a 10 on a 10 scale. It's
sure.
been awesome.
Right.
Right? But I was left hanging last night. On episode 7, on something that I thought should have been mentioned, and it was not.
Okay.
In my opinion, only because I was there, mm-hmm. and it was such a great tournament, and it got whiffed last night.
Okay.
The 1987 tournament, in which NC State won it,
mm-hmm.
beat North Carolina. They won two overtime games to get to the finals and won it, was whiffed last night. I thought that deserved some attention.
Vinny Del Negro was the MVP.
Yes.
Arguably the greatest semifinal day in ACC tournament history.
Certainly shortlisted. Worst case scenario, it's one of the top three.
Yeah.
It got whiffed last night. It was the only time in this incredible series.
Right.
That I was like, man, where did 87 go?
Right.
Now, the 89 stuff was great. The Kremen mm-hmm. stuff was great.
Yeah, yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
All
yeah.
of it was good. I loved it.
Yeah, they called it Lethal Weapon 3.
And I loved watching that team, all right? And the cool thing about this documentary is, after every one, I'm like, oh, man, I want more.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the 87 tournament dissipated, like it didn't exist.
Right.
And, again, just only because I remember it being there, I thought it should have been mentioned.
All right.
It's my only registered complaint.
Okay, we're
other than that, I think it's been incredible.
Okay. Mark thought there was a miss on the 87 tournament.
87 NC State winning it, I thought should have gotten some love.
Is that Pitaro, P-I-T-A-R-O? Is that the way we send that email for you?
Whatever. I know Wendy. Wendy and I are tight.
Oh, that's right.
So, you know, don't try to one-up me on the big boss of the ESPN.
I don't have to send it
plus,
to
the way
big
we're
boss.
Going, you know, quite frankly... Lucky.
Might be playing with house money.
I'm lucky to still be in my own house.
Fair point. All right. When we come back, we will dive into kind of Saturday night's expensive ticket. Have you seen the prices, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
In fact, it costs more to get in Saturday night than it did the Super Bowl in L.A.
Well, I don't doubt it.
And we'll get to that, plus the bubble watch. Oh, we got some Lenardi talk coming up. Stay tuned. Packer and Durham's Tuesday. Believe it or not, it's just Tuesday on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Well, I still haven't got my tickets. You going to ship those to me? How's that work?
Where's your million?
Oh, no, you got my credit card.
Or if one ticket,
it's
$250,000.
I'm in. Well, I can split the four.
But I'm not cutting the price.
Well, here's what I'm going to do.
In fact, I might add the price.
Well, here's what I'm going to do.
Yours is $300.
All right, here's what I'm going to do to you, big man. For $300, I'm in for the last
game.
No,
I'm the big man because I have the ticket.
Well, wait a minute. I'm not done talking.
It's not even.
Hey, no disrespect.
I have high. In the military, they would call it I have high ground right now.
Well, you may have high ground, but you know what? When I'm carrying you on that Sirius XM show, that's going to be a $300,000 break even.
Now,
I figure we're even.
You know, but what will be good, it'll be the first time I felt him carrying me. On the show.
That would be the first time.
It's something to look forward to.
That is, yeah. You know.
$300K, huh?
Can I?
Guess who's going to be up there in the catbird seat for free?
For free. Yeah, catbird seat.
Matter of fact, they're going to pay us to be there. How about that? We went from being out $300,000 to get in the building.
Yeah.
To showing up. They're paying us to be there. What a deal that is.
Yeah. At the kids' table. At the kids' table.
Yeah, that's what I said. We're at the kids' table. Yeah. But we're in.
Thank God we got a Hall of Famer with us.
Well, wait a minute. You're a Hall of Famer. Debbie's a Hall of Famer. I'm Hall of Fameless. But I'm in the building. And I just saved $300,000 to Mike Krzyzewski.
Can I just add that at some point down the road, I hope we get a chance to have that Coach K come sit in here and hang out a little bit.
If he wants.
Open fire on you.
Listen, K and I go back so far. I got a great radio show. In fact, I'll save it for Saturday night show.
Okay.
It's a Mike Krzyzewski. In fact, it might have been the very first time Coach K and I were together on radio.
Yeah.
Which was about 20 years ago. I'll save that for Saturday night's kid table discussion.
Okay. Good.
It's a funny story.
By the way, the $300,000 after the service fee, apparently, for the coach.
I feel like I got a good deal there because it was not looking good in October. No, I don't think I was reaching in the pocket for $300,000.
Yeah, $250,000 plus the $50,000.
I really didn't like the way he upped the ante on me like
the
that.
The $50,000 K service fee.
Yeah, he just said, for you, Packer, it's going up to $300,000. Yeah. I didn't really appreciate that.
Average ticket price on Saturday ranges from $7,500 on SeatGeek, $6,336 on TickPick, $5,392 on StubHub. None of the sites had nosebleed seats available for less than $3,000.
Is Bocelli singing the national anthem here? What happened with that ticket price?
Well, I got to believe. Now, here's the interesting part about this. There's all sorts of stuff hanging out there. Last night, Corey Alexander said he and Dan Shulman were talking about Saturday night during the course of the Carolina-Syracuse game, and they're expecting 80 former players to be there. Okay, that's number one. Number two, you know that nothing is going to be simplistic about this game. I mean, the national anthem, the baseline seats where Peyton Manning and Eli Manning and Barack Obama sat one night. That baseline is going to be like Millionaire's Row at the Kentucky Derby.
Lakers game.
Yeah, like a Lakers game. So, you know, there's all sorts of stuff out there as to who will and who won't be there and things like that. Now,
let's get stuck up there in the banners. two Hall of Famers.
Or behind the banner.
In the Pac-Man.
In the corner, yeah. In the auxiliary, which is fine. That's
I call it the kids' table.
In the building, yeah, kids' table. All right.
With a K, by the way.
Yeah. Give you an idea here as to how this is going to work in comparison. Brady's return to New England, Tom Brady, was
$1,000. Nah, $1,000.
Game 7 of the 2016 Finals, Warriors-Cavs, was just over $2,000.
Yeah.
The Cubs and Indians,
please,
$2,300 to see Game 7.
Get real teams.
And the average ticket for the Rams and Bengals a couple weeks ago was $7,500. Now, I've been told there's a sub-$100,000 seat that is available somewhere, but we'll see. Lower level.
I got it. I'm sitting on it.
You don't have it. So, anyway, give you an idea where
it's going to be an amazing night.
Oh, and
hopefully the game lives up to it. All right. That's the problem.
We had a production call yesterday, and I said, hey, by the way, what if this is one possession at the end? What about it? I mean, these are two teams that somehow deliver the goods on these games. You know that.
Well, they didn't the first time.
No. Early foul trouble. Duke's momentum right out of the gate. Bay caught two fouls in the first 2.5 minutes.
31-8 later.
Game, set, match, right?
Time to see what else was on.
So, be interesting environment on Saturday night. We're looking forward to having some of the ACC network coverage with and we are companion programming is what I would tell you on Saturday night. Jay and Dan and Holly Roll have the game. And Pac and Debbie and I will be there. We've got some guests mixed in. We're going to have a little bit of fun, tell some stories. We'll have a Coach K cam during the game. Plus, we'll show you the ball game, things like that. But if you're looking for the hardcore X's and O's, we'll give you a notch or two of it. But
ah, please. We are scraps, but we are glad to be there.
All right. Meanwhile, Duke's got to take care of business tonight at Pittsburgh.
Yes, they did. I told you. Cage 3-2 at Pitt.
Yeah. Lost their last trip. January of a year ago, Justin Champagne had 31 that night, by the way, and now he's in the he's on a two-way deal in the NBA. Since Coach K took over, Duke is only 3-2 at Pitt, by the way. Only 5 trips up there, 3 wins. And this is Audis Tony, who's now playing at Arkansas, and there's Champagne on the way to 31 last year. Boy, what a good player he was, huh?
Well, I will say this. If the Duke team that showed up at Syracuse shows up tonight, this thing will be over in a hurry.
Yeah.
That Duke team Saturday night, I thought, was the best team I saw play Saturday in college basketball. And that was a day that was loaded with incredible games, upsets, turnover, you name it. That Duke club Saturday was dialed in. And, man, when they are dialed in, Wes, they are spectacular.
Yeah. Paolo Banchero looks just like he does in the video game now. Boy, they look good. They have had, you know what, they've been kind of ascending, haven't they, the Blue Devils?
Well, I think you go back to consistency. We just talked about that with North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know, when North Carolina is good, they're really good. But when they look like they're lost focus, you just kind of shake your head and go, what's going on? Duke is so ultra-talented, and obviously Kay gives you that extra oomph. But when they are focused and dialed in, like I said, Saturday night, they were ready to go. 30,000 here to see us? Let's put on a show. Yeah. And they did. Now, the environment tonight will be very different. And that's one of those that you got to be careful. You can't get lulled to sleep and kind of go, oh, we got North Carolina Saturday night. And, hey, did you hear who's coming to the game and all that? You got to be dialed in. I think Kay will have his guys ready to go. It's March. I think this team's really ready to roll.
Craig Meyer of the Post-Gazette in Pittsburgh put something out yesterday on social media. It kind of speaks two ways. One, about kind of where the things are in the landscape of the ACC. But he said another stat that speaks to the relative weakness of the league this year is Pitt's games tomorrow against Duke is its first against a ranked team in over a year.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So February 20th of 2021 was their last ranked opponent. So keep that in mind tonight, too. Pittsburgh in a ranked opponent for the first time this year. Louisville is at Virginia Tech. We've already given you the headline here. The Cards have won 17 straight against the Hokies.
Yeah.
February of 91, Virginia Tech a double-digit favorite at home tonight. This is their only meeting of the regular season.
I like Pitt to get smacked tonight. I like Virginia Tech to continue their good play. They're coming off the incredibly emotional win where they finally stole one from Miami after that series, which has been so good. Louisville, to their credit, has played hard, even though the Wake Forest game was ugly. It was 17-2 out of the gate, and that was the game set match. See you later. I just think Virginia Tech has to win both this week, and then they've got to go on a semi-run next week and hope that there's not some stealing going on in these conference tournaments.
That's correct. So we'll keep an eye on this one. At 9 o'clock tonight on ESPN2, you see the Hokies with a real, real strong chance. Let's get to the bubble watch here. Lenardi's latest projections this morning. Wake Forest is in the last four byes. Virginia is in the next. Virginia Tech's in the next four out. And Virginia is in the next four out or whatever. When you get to that point, I got to be honest with you, it just kind of glazes over a little bit here.
Well, Virginia, and no disrespect, Virginia's got to win the ACC tournament.
I think that's
let's just cut
right.
to the chase and forget about the next of the next of the next. I mean, that loss over the weekend to Florida State was a killer. The opportunity last week to beat Duke and didn't was a killer. That 0-2 week is a – I mean, that's game, set, match. They got to win in Brooklyn.
Hokies' chance to get to 11-8 in the league tonight, 12-8 Saturday at Clemson. Needless to say, everything from here on out is on the table for Mike Young's team in terms of their NCAA lives. Now, that's a lot of teams to jump with basically less than a week to go in the regular season. So that, to Mark's point, remember back when you talk about Brooklyn, this is where Brooklyn, Virginia Tech will be a Brooklyn-centric basketball team. The more you can do in Brooklyn, the better off Virginia Tech will be. How far can they play? We'll see.
Well, keep in mind, too, the last four in on that list right there on the screen, Indiana and Rutgers, two Big Ten teams. Guess who plays Wednesday night? You got it. Indiana, Rutgers.
Yeah.
So somebody's dropping, guaranteed, on that front. So, like I said, there's still so much basketball to be played. You can project all you want, crystal ball all you want. In 12 days, you'll find out the answer, but you better win moving forward.
Yeah, and San Diego State with a big road win last night at Wyoming. First team to win out there.
Wyoming's having a great year.
Yeah, Cowboys, fun team. All right, on the other side, conference cuts, and there are some beauties on here this week. There's Jeff Capel. We'll get to hear from him. Hubert Davis. Is he in conference cuts? We got Josh Pastner. I know that. Steve Forbes, Mike Young. Coach K, all that and more coming up next.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget, tonight, 8 o'clock, Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander will be at the Peterson Events Center for number 4 Duke's visit to Pittsburgh. Coach K's last regular season road game. Is available exclusively on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app.
Yep, I like Duke tonight. I like the Hokies tonight.
So, it's been called to our attention that there are some Spectrum cable subscribers this morning that are having audio issues with ACC Network, and we've been told this is a Spectrum scenario. Everything checks out. We got the green light coming from ESPN. So,
can I say something?
Nobody on Spectrum can hear you.
Hey,
but go ahead.
Why are you saying it? I'm sitting here listening to you, going, "What are you doing that for?"
Because we figure somebody in the Spectrum area will maybe on another service.
You just said if you have Spectrum,
if you have Spectrum, you can't hear
you
us.
You can't hear the show. So what's supposed to? If you have Spectrum, you won't be. They can, unless they're reading your lips.
But somebody in the Spectrum footprint on another service may text
They're
their buddy and go, "Hey,
wasting time
it's not their
that.
Problem.
Hey, Spectrum, get your act together with us." I used to have Spectrum.
How'd that go?
Now I'm now an AT&T guy.
That's it. Okay.
Same. Which I think Barb and Billy and Barb have Spectrum.
So
let me do this, Barb. Read my lips.
Happy birthday. Here we go. All right. Off to conference cuts, shall we? Coach K.
It's like the other day, by the way.
Yes.
I had a guy call the radio show.
Sure.
All right. And he took exception to what I said regarding the handshake thing, the fiasco. And I said to the guy, his name was Mike in Indiana. I said, Mike.
That's a weird last name.
Mike from Indiana.
I got it. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Are you Spectrum over there?
Yes, go ahead. You're fine.
So I said to the guy, Mike, I said, so you tell me, what'd you see? And he said, Pack, I can't. I'm blind. And I was like, well, now, where am I going with this? Yeah. So it's like you telling the Spectrum folks who have an audio issues that we know that you have audio issues. They can't hear you.
Oh, sorry, Fuller.
Don't step on the dog. He's your buddy.
He was right here under my feet.
Don't step on
what could possibly go wrong.
Yeah.
Can we go to conference, Gus, please? Coach K, yesterday talking to the ACC media about how important it is to lock up the top seed before they get to Saturday.
Well, it really doesn't make any difference what happens afterwards. It would evoke the same amount of feeling no matter what. We would want to beat Pitt and lock up the number one seed, whether we played two more games or whoever we would play. And to me, that's the biggest thing happening this week until something else will happen. And if we look at something else happening before that, before this game, then maybe it won't happen against Pitt. You have to look for every game and every opponent. You have to prepare the same way with the same intensity, and that's what we're doing for Pitt.
Quick question: do you know the last time Duke was the top seed in the tournament?
Well, the last time they were the outright ACC regular season champion was 2005-06.
Correct.
Last time I think they split was 2009-10.
That is correct. They were the top seed in 10 and won the tournament. They were the top seed in 6, won the tournament. 2004, they were not. They were the top seed. They did not win the tournament. They lost in overtime to John Gilchrist in Maryland.
Well, the fact that Duke has not won an outright ACC regular season title since 2005-06, to me, is a great bar bet.
Yep.
Because you just assume, oh, it's Duke, man, they win it all the time.
Absolutely.
Well, no, they don't.
Yeah.
Which is hard to believe. And that's where I think, you know, Tony Bennett's numbers would surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, North Carolina's been able to do it. And, again, there's been some cool storylines. But I think that's one of those, hey, last time out, let's go win this.
Right.
And we're not sharing it with anybody.
Yeah. Jeff Capel was asked, after playing for Coach Krzyzewski and then coaching with him for many years, what's it like walking with Coach K into a recruit's home?
Well, I actually think it's the most underrated part of who he of his all of the things that people talk about him. I don't think he gets nearly as much credit as a recruiter. He has been an elite recruiter from the 80s on, you know, with the first class, with Johnny, Billis, Allery, David Henderson, like that crew. Like, he's put together like really elite classes since then. And, you know, he's had a really good assistants, whether it was Bray, Amaker, Snyder, you know, after they left, you know, Henderson, Dawkins, after they left, Wojo, Chris, like he's, you know, John now, you know, those guys there. But the one common theme has always been him. Like, he is an elite recruiter. And seeing people's reaction when I went back there and worked, whether it was the kids, whether it was family, fans at some of the events, depending on where it was unbelievable. I mean, he's a rock star. And getting him in a home and seeing him, you know, especially when he's really on and someone that he really wants. I mean, it was unbelievable to watch.
Not a coincidence that the guy's won over 1,100 games and has been so good for so long. You got to have really good players. You got to have great assistants, and you got to be great too. It's just a whole culmination. And what we're going to experience on Saturday night, his last walk through that tunnel.
Right.
It'll be emotional. It'll be crazy. But the guy's been phenomenal.
Off to Winston-Salem next. Steve Forbes asked the very simple question. Is Alondis Williams the player of the year?
I am not one to lobby for my players. I believe that they stand on their merit. And so I'm not real big on me getting on, you know, this type of environment and pushing for my players. I think you guys are smart. You see it. You know, you look at the numbers and like I do, and you use your eyes and not your ears. He went from being like the sixth or seventh option on the scouting report at Oklahoma to the top of the scouting report at Wake Forest. That is a hard thing because not only is he a good player, he's getting everybody's attention. And I think he's handled that really, really well. And there's been some growth with that. But over time, I think he's handled that very, very well.
Wes, I don't have a vote, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I think. If he ends up leading the league in scoring and assist,
yeah,
he's the answer to the question, in my opinion.
I think it is, and I don't want to say that it's about tomorrow night, but there's a lot about tomorrow night for Alondis Williams. If I agree with you. If he finishes leading the league in scoring and assist, you look at the other categories he contributes in and the story of his impact with their season, it's hard not to vote for him.
So that's
really hard.
I don't have a vote, so this is why I don't vote. So I can give you an opinion. It doesn't matter to me who wins it. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins it will earn it. But if I had a vote, and it ended today, he'd get my vote.
Yeah. We saved Josh Pastner for last.
Now Pastner and Forbes have got to be 1 and 1A on coaches' cuts for hoops. Don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
those two guys will give you something to laugh about and chew the fat with every single week.
And here is the case. Pastner was asked about Coach K and ended up at a concert 39 years ago.
You know, one of the great – I mean, you think about it, because for how long he's been at Duke and the success that he's had, and to do what he's done has just been in all across of any sport, knowing that every single night you're getting the team's best shot. And how long? What year did he start at Duke, Andy or Casey? Do you remember that?
I want to say it's 81.
81.
That's right.
So he's been. He's been in Green. This is how long he's been there in Greensboro, or been in Durham, but has been playing in the Greensboro Coliseum. One of the greatest performances ever in the history of music was at the Greensboro Coliseum. What year? I think when Maryland ended up winning, was it 83 or 84? I think it was 83 or 84, with Kenny Rogers. And what's her name? Sheena. They did We've Got Tonight. They did a duet song at the Greensboro Coliseum. You should YouTube it. It's an amazing performance. I forget Sheena. I forget her last name.
Easton.
Easton. Sheena Easton and Kenny Rogers. 83 Greensboro Coliseum. Or I think it was 83. He's been in the league that long and has had so much success. And it was originally a Bob Seger song on We've Got Tonight. But those two performed it at the Greensboro Coliseum in the early 80s. That's how long Coach K's been here. And he's been so good through that entire time. And it's incredible. And he's one of the greatest to ever do it. I used to be at Nike camp I was there as a player. And I remember, you know, taking a picture with them as a young man, as a 15-year-old, and then had the privilege and honor to coach against them. So it's been an incredible. And he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, to ever coach, Casey, regardless of sport, regardless of any basketball, football, baseball, hockey. He could perform with Kenny Rogers and Sheena Easton in the Greensboro Coliseum in 83. We've got tonight, and he would do it at such a high level. That's how great he is.
So if you're keeping score at home, if you had in the first 45 minutes of Packer and Durham on show 575, Kenny Rogers, Sheena Easton, and Coach K in concert, you would be a winner. Congratulations. You won the bingo today. Packer and Durham bingo. Josh Pastner. How about that answer? We went from Coach K to, I think it's a Seeger song. Maybe it was 83. Maybe it was 84.
Sheena. It was Sheena.
And Sheena is somebody.
Sheena, what's her name?
He is a beaut, isn't he?
Oh. Can we get him in here for an hour?
Oh.
Unbelievable.
He is awesome. He and Forbes now, every week, they give you something to laugh
Pastner about. Also covered a myriad of other topics during his visit yesterday. We just don't have time for it, to be honest with you. We got to take
Might
a break.
Might be better than what we got.
Might be. Well, I don't know. On the other side, another memory for Coach K. This one from our friend Carlos Boozer. And according to the stats, who are the best in Mike Krzyzewski's 42 years at Duke? We'll touch on that next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
My favorite story about Coach K is... We're mid-season. We had a tough game where we lost. We come back home. We're all down because we were undefeated. And coach kept talking to us where he didn't feel like we attacked. So we have a game coming up at home in Cameron. We get to the locker room and there are these white pieces of paper everywhere, all over the lockers, on the chairs. Can't even see your jersey. It's just white pieces of paper all over the locker room with one word, and the word is attack. So we all, you know, we're sitting down, everybody gets in there, and the lights go out. Boom. That's dark. Can't see the person next to you. The door opens up, and Coach K does a somersault and rolls into the locker room with the Army hat on, and he goes, "Let's attack!" With that energy, mid-season, it's not ACC tournament, it's not the NCAA tournament, this is a regular season game. He's 60 years old doing a somersault for 18-year-olds to motivate them.
You know, I'm glad that worked for Duke, because I tried doing that for our show earlier this week, and it just didn't work at all. I somersaulted down the steps, and Wes looked at me like, oh, God, here we go again. This guy's an idiot.
Wellness plan taking a wrong turn is what I thought.
Well, I feel a little more spryer than I did a couple months
Flexibility
ago.
Flexibility a key.
No question about it.
Carlos Boozer will be with us all weekend long, as you would hope.
The motivating tactics you've heard through the years with Kay are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Really incredible.
And Saturday night, we're going to share a lot of these stories that either we've heard or actually been a part of.
What we bring to the table, by the way, on the scraps, on the kids' table.
On the kids' table.
Now, if you want, again.
That and extra dessert.
If you want the X's and the O's, there's Shulman and Billis. If you want stories to be entertained, it's us.
And call-ins, folks to chat with during the game. You've heard the stories about, you know, take away the practice gear and all that stuff, right? And there was a time when not only did we take away the practice gear, we didn't practice at Cameron. You weren't good enough to play in Cameron.
Didn't earn it.
So they went next door to the Card Gym for like 3 days. Jay Williams told me the story one time of them practicing in the Card Gym. They had to take some kind of intramural deal. No, you can't stage pickleball in the Card Gym today. You got to go. And they practiced in Card Gym for like 3 days.
See, I'm worried that when word gets to Krzyzewski that we're showing up, that's eventually where we'll be, Saturday.
Well, word has kind of leaked out a little bit.
Yeah. I think Kay's going to hear, wait a minute, these idiots are going to be where? No, we're going to put them over in there in Car.
Yeah. More of that to come, by the way, in the next 3 days leading up to Saturday's curtain call, if you will, on ESPN. And
is that what we're calling it?
Well, that's what our portion of it's called.
Can we rename it? Is that possible?
No.
Like we did the radio show?
No, they've already built really expensive graphics.
I know, but
SiriusXM
did the same thing when you and I were doing it on radio.
That's,
we changed the name of the show. I'm not sure the executives at SiriusXM ever realized we changed the name of the radio show to The Central.
Not sure they did either, but these people would notice. These folks would care.
Oh, you're saying the SiriusXM executives would not?
I did not say that at all about our friend, Mr. Cohen.
They had no idea that we changed the name of the
show. Mr. Cohen is a wonderful human being.
He is, right? It's another big check.
That's it. All right. Statistically, who are the best players in Kay's tenure at Duke? Now, these are statistics, okay? This is not, you know, your emotional heartstrings pulling and things like that. The best to do it under Mike Krzyzewski. Well, let's start kind of with the notables and scoring. The best three-point shooter, well, this is easy. The NCAA record holder in three-point shots is J.J. Redick, 2003 to 2006. All-time record in threes with 457, 1,126 attempts. Seventh in three-point field goal percentage at 40.6. The makes and attempts are ACC records as well.
He was the perfect Duke player.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean that in both good and bad. Because, number one, he was a great player. Not good. Great player, right?
Yep.
And didn't mind taking these shots. And he made almost all of them, it seemed like. And he was also, if you did not like Duke, he was the perfect Duke player.
Yeah, he embraced it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Trajan Langdon, by the way, second in three-pointers made and attempted and percentage. And Jay Williams, third in makes and attempts, despite playing only 2 years at Duke. So, that's three-point shooting. Reliable. Most games and minutes played. This is one that I think this one will surprise people. Kyle Singler. 4,887 minutes, by the way. I mean,
there's a foul that wasn't called on Clemson.
But Kyle Singler, amazing durability. Singler is first in game started, 147. Now, consecutive games, 148.
You're going to rattle off all the numbers on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
You got to define this one to me, Mr. Reliable.
Okay.
I mean, is it Mr. Minutes or is it Mr. Reliable?
He was a really good player and played a ton of minutes now. I mean,
I think you have to define it, though, for me. If you said, who is the most reliable player to play for Coach K, I would never say Kyle Singler. I would not.
Okay. But I think in terms of durability, I mean, Emil Jefferson played in 150 games.
I didn't ask you about minutes. I just said, forget minutes and games. If I said to you, Coach K era, the most reliable player he had was fill in the blank. It's the first thing that pops in your head.
Well, actually, the guy who's third on the list, Bobby Hurley.
Okay, here's an answer.
Bobby Hurley is, to me, the personification of a guy that was there every time. It may have been Leitner, it could have been Hill, but Bobby Hurley was the guy that was there 4 years and it laid out on the floor the whole time.
I would have gone Leitner, but I'm buying Hurley, but I'm not buying Kyle Singler.
All right.
That's just me.
Just telling you what the stats are.
I don't care what that computer says. I don't read off the computer.
Sheldon Williams, 59 double-doubles, 139 games, 42% of the time he had a double-double. Averaged a double-double in each of his final three seasons, shot over 57% from the field in his senior year. So Sheldon Williams was the double-double guy. You just can't beat the guy. Who do you think the best winner in K's tenure is?
Well, you can't ask me because I got the answer in front of me.
Shane Battier. Does that surprise you?
I would not have guessed that before all the information came to us yesterday.
Yes, I would have guessed Leitner here.
Me too.
Yeah. But Shane Battier.
So great.
Yep. Terrific player and just an unbelievable player at the collegiate level. And look at all the guys playing with him too now. You had some players to go with him. There's the landlord.
I just love it when you have a guy that's the shutdown guy. I love it when teams have one of those dudes. It's kind of like Leaky Black last night with North Carolina. He just, we've got to eliminate this guy. Who's going to go do it? Battier was fantastic.
And they went Leitner, then they got Battier, and then they went to Redick in terms of just those guys that were like, oh, that guy again?
Yeah, I wonder how they won so many games.
Yeah, right. Best passer, Bobby Hurley, NCAA, still has the NCAA record for most assists with 1,076. And, of course, the now successful basketball coach at Arizona State, Pack, you may have heard they've made a late-season charge.
They still have basketball there?
They do. They have a late-season charge for the Sun Devils.
Is that the one team that's not on probation?
No. Arizona State? You're only doing this for our producer's benefit, and that is awesome. Best individual season, J.J. Redick as a senior. Went out on top, 964 points, averaged almost 27 points a game as a senior. Just a remarkable – and this is why you remember Redick. Played with fire, passion, good heavens.
You know when he was great, too, when he went on the road? Because he caught more grief. I mean, people just love to get on his case, and he ate it up.
Yep.
He couldn't wait to shut you up and tell you to go home.
Yep. Yep. He liked it. He liked the scrap.
I like teams like that, man. And that's why, if you watched the documentary last night, Christian Leitner said, we're like the Rolling Stones, man. We're rock stars on the road. You love teams like that, right?
By the way, in case you weren't getting your free pass credential into the game Saturday night.
I got a free car now, apparently. That's where we're going
to
be.
Probably. So, Nina King's going to join us tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. I'd love to know, and Nina, get ready for this if you're watching. We're going to ask you the best phone call you got this week. What's the best phone call you've gotten in the last 2 weeks about this game?
I just hope Nina doesn't have Spectrum. Yes, Spectrum. She's not hearing a word we've saying.
We got to go to break. 575. I had great aspirations. We get to 600. All right, when we come back, best of the month of February. Charlotte North didn't waste any time.
It's on my list.
Jumping on this list. Back after this on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.